two short videos to show before I get into the message. And we'll start with the presentation video, and then we'll go into a PowerPoint setup.
My name is Jed Warren, and with my wife, Melissa, we are missionaries with a ministry called Distribution Ministries. Romans 12:13 says, "Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality." For the past 25 years, I've been a part of my dad's ministry. In 2019, I surrendered to the Lord's call to preach and start a helps ministry of my own. In my dad's ministry, I have helped deliver pews, building materials, and scriptures such as Bibles, John and Romans, and tracts. I learned how to weld from my dad and used to use this knowledge in the mission field as well. I have also been blessed to be able to help churches in building signs, fire escapes, water towers, and trailers. In 2021, I flew up to Alaska, where I was able to help my brother Israel Warren to build an aluminum cabin on his boat. He needed to protect the children that he picks up on the Yukon River for youth outreaches. He floated the boat up the river on a barge to Palmer, Alaska, where we built the cabin in a welding shop there. In 2022, I and my dad's ministry delivered 3 trailer loads of building materials to the Navajo Indian Reservation in New Mexico. These materials were used to build a church for Wilson Calvin, a faithful Navajo pastor we have helped several times over the past many years. My dad has funded his ministry for the large part out of his own pocket. My goal is to focus all of my energy and attention on the ministry the Lord has given me and not charge the missionaries any fuel cost for my assistance. In doing so, we are in need of support and prayers. There are many dangers on the highways of this country and across the world. I was saved at the age of 14 at a revival meeting. My wife Melissa grew up in Clatskanie, Oregon, as the daughter of a pastor. She was saved at 7 years old and has been serving in her local church until we were married on December 17, 2022. We are expecting our first child in November 2023. In the future, my hopes for this ministry include helping to deliver missionaries' personal items to their field of service and also to assist in bringing their personal items back to the U.S. should the Lord call them back off the field. We will also be shipping Bibles and scripture-related literature as needed. A main focus of our ministry will be to keep the missionary on the field serving as we serve them by providing items they need.
This is supposed to be, there we go. These are some building supplies that we had delivered, the doors there and some windows we delivered to a church in Mexico. And they were, as you can see, they were put up there. The church is being used. And to this day, that church is still going strong. And that was, if memory serves correctly, about 15 years ago, we delivered those pews and building supplies. And that particular sign there was built over in Mississippi. 10 years ago or so, and we've built several signs along the way. In fact, on my display, you'll see me hanging on one of those signs, which I repaired last year. That particular sign had been up for right at 20 years. And then these two trailers were the ones that we used to haul the building supplies to the Navajo Reservation. And we built both of those trailers. We build our own. My dad's ministry, I've helped him build all of his trailers. And here again is Wilson Calvin on your left, his wife on the right, and then Mike Ellis in the middle. He headed up the team that built the church, and they built that church in 1 week. The foundation was there, and they came in and put up the rest of the church in 1 week. We have worked with him several times over the years, and his church as well, in the various building projects they have. They try to do a project of that type once a year through their church, and he heads up that effort. We have also helped Brother Wilson throughout the years several times. He's started several churches on the Navajo Reservation that are now being... he can't pastor all of them, obviously, so he's put them out to other Navajo pastors. And this, again, is my brother's boat. And this year, in April, I hope to go up to my brother's work and help him in building supports underneath his church. And that is one of our needs for this year, is to secure the funds to go up there and to help him in that. The reason I'm showing this particular display is there's a picture at the end of it, and it has the supports that are under his church currently. And because of the thawing and the freezing throughout the year, the level of the ground can actually rise or fall by several feet either direction, which is quite surprising, but I guess it's very... There it is. It's very time-consuming. He has to go under the building there several times a year and keep leveling it. And my goal is to... He has the materials up there, the steel to build adjustable pillars with a screw jack system, so that he doesn't have to go under there with half a dozen hydraulic jacks and go back and forth and back and forth. But that's where we're at right now in this ministry. Is that's my goal for this year, is to go up to Alaska and help Israel short term. And of course, long term, we're still on deputation, and we'll continue to be on deputation until we raise the required amount of support. And I've not under any false idea that that's going to be a short time period. In fact, before we were married, I told Melissa it would probably be in the order of about 5 years before we had full support. However, just as this year in this mission work going up to Alaska, we'll be able to do the mission work while we gather deputation, as the Lord works it out for us to do. It's a real blessing to be able to come in here and to present the ministry to y'all. I don't believe I've ever shown either of those videos, those presentations here. So it's going to be a great thing to see what the Lord does in this ministry. I know that the Lord has called me to this ministry to help other churches, not just here in the U.S., but in foreign countries as well, just as my dad over the years has helped those same works. But as far as particular needs in our ministry right now, that is one big need, is the funds to go up to Alaska. We do have some of that. And of course, I know the Lord's going to provide. There is another man that will be coming up to help. He was supposed to put together a church group to come up, but it turns out that he'll be coming up by himself. So there's that help that will be there as well. And I'm trying to coordinate
and get there at the same time that he does. There are many things that Israel needs us to do. I believe he wants to extend the eaves on his church because they're very short eaves, and they're, I believe, something in the order of 8 inches. So they're not very, they don't stick out from the building very much. And that building is in need of a lot of repair. It sat for many years, and it was allowed to kind of fall apart. So along with the eaves, and I guess we'll be working all the way from the top to the bottom of the building, in the supporting the bottom and fixing the roof as well. And then also, of course, pray for our deputation, our safety, and pray for meetings. That is a very hard thing for me to get, is meetings. And I would be very grateful if you would continue to pray for me in that regard. And then we also need a larger truck. Brother Job, with the scriptures that he needs hauled up to Alaska, that's not the first time that I've ran across a load that I could not handle because it was too large. So please pray for that. And then obviously I would need to get a CDL license and the upkeep on a truck of that size. I'm very familiar with 1 tons and 3/4 tons. That's what my dad has used in his ministry. But the upkeep on a semi, just one tire, is $600. So that's quite a bit of upkeep. And a simple oil change is much more than just a passenger car. So please keep that in prayer. And then also, since we're on deputation, I would like for us to have some type of a smaller RV or trailer that we could pull behind a pickup as the Lord supplies for us. But that's our needs in a nutshell there. I do know that we will be traveling quite a bit over these next several years, just in deputation alone, but also in doing the ministry. It's my desire not to simply be on deputation, but to do the ministry as well, as I'm able to. So let's, and along those lines, I'd like to get into the lesson, and or the lesson, the message. I've been teaching Sunday school in my church for the past several months. And the title of the message today that the Lord has given me is, Are You a Help to Anyone? And it falls right into what I picked up on a theme for this missions conference. If you've gone to any missions conferences before, there is generally a theme that the Lord puts on every preacher's heart, and they'll follow that theme out. And it's not an accident, not by any means. And I don't believe either that the preachers get together and come up with this theme amongst themselves. It's something the Lord puts on everyone's heart. This message was given to me well over a month ago. So I'm sure that it is from the Lord. And when Brother Byers started, when he preached his message, and then through all the messages, I've just been, it's great, Lord. You worked it out exactly as I knew you would. I prayed that you would. Let's go to John in chapter 18. John in chapter 18. And it is a blessing to see how the Lord works things out. Through the years, there have been many instances where God has put things together in my dad's ministry and in this ministry also that could not have happened without his intervention, without his direct intervention. John in chapter 18. We'll read one verse here, verse 10, and then we'll open with prayer. John 18 and verse 10. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Lord, I come before you and I would ask that you would help me today, Lord. Guide my lips, Lord. Give me the things to say, Lord. I have an outline here, but if you want me to go away from that outline, Lord, just guide me. And I do pray that you would help me to be a help to your people, Lord. That's why you've brought me here today, Lord, to help your people, Lord. Perhaps there's a person here who is struggling with something, Lord. They're struggling with that thing that's holding them back from being a help to others around them. And they may not even be aware. that it is a thing that holds them back, Lord. And I just pray that you would help them to see that, Lord. There are many things in my life over the years that you've convicted me of, Lord, and said, you don't need that anymore. And I just pray that we would put everything we have on this altar and be willing to give it up for you, Lord. And I do pray, Lord, that you would work in our lives today, Lord. I know that you've been helping folk throughout this mission conference, Lord. You've helped me. It's been a great blessing to be here, Lord. I just pray that I would be a blessing to your folk here today in this message. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so in this verse here, John 18 and verse 10, we see that Simon Peter, he had a sword, and he draws that sword, and he tries to be a help in this situation right here. And he cuts off the high priest's servant's ear. Now, in studying for this message, I like to look at the context and find out exactly what is going on before I preach a message. In some of my early messages, I go back and look at those notes, and I kind of raise an eyebrow like, how did you get that out of that? That's not what the context was talking about at all. So let's go to Luke in chapter 22. Let's turn over to Luke in 22. And we'll get a little bit of a background as to what's going on here before we jump into the message. Luke in chapter 22 and verse 36. Now we know that Jesus was in that particular instance with Peter cutting off the high priest's servant's ear. They had come to arrest Jesus and take him to be tried, and ultimately to be hung on the cross for you and I, for our sins, not anything that he had done. But before that, in Luke 22 and verse 36, he asked the disciples a curious question here. Then said he unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip, and he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me, and he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. Now, that prophecy there that he's referencing is Isaiah 53 and verse 12. He was reckoned among the transgressors. So we can see that. But what is that? At verse 36, what does that mean right here? Then said he unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip, and he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. Curious thing that the Lord's wanting there. In verse 38, and they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said unto them, it is enough. So whether they had those two swords on hand or they went quickly and bought them, they had those two swords there. And that was enough for what the Lord wanted right there. Now, whether it was to fulfill that prophecy and that he was reckoned among the transgressors so that there would be a token amount of swords there so that they could be arrested and counted among, you know, thieves and transgressors. In fact, in verse 52, let's skip over to 52, Luke 22, 52. Then Jesus said unto the chief priest and captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves. So I'm not here to explain to exactly why he wanted the swords. But it is in the scripture. I thought that I should point that out. Just lay it out what the scripture says. And that he did mention the prophecy there. It could have been that the swords were needed for the disciples' defense after they left Jesus Christ. After they took their flight and left him. I'm not going to say either way. But what I will point out today is that Peter's use of that sword was of no help to anyone. He pulled that sword out and he cut off the high priest's servant's ear. What is it that you have today that you're depending on to help you that will be of no help to you or to anyone? That's just a simple question there. But see, we see that there was no help in what Peter did. No help to himself, no help to those around him, and no help to Jesus in particular. And that was what he was after, I'm sure. When the high priest came to arrest him, he had that sword. And another side question, where's the other sword at? Where did it get off to? Was someone didn't have enough bravery to pull that sword out? Peter was brave. We know that. Peter was never one to hold back. So he pulled that sword and stepped out, and he took off the ear of the high priest's servant, Malchus. But again, it was no help to anyone. In this instance in Scripture, there was no help to be had from that use of the sword there. So, I'll point out a few things here, and then we'll get into the message. The first thing I see is that we cannot help others in our own power. And Peter was trying, as best he knew how, to help others as he thought he had been supplied with that sword to do that very thing. But we see that that was not the reason that the Lord gave him that sword. Now, for sake of time, I will not go to Matthew 26 or Mark 14. Those are other instances of this same happening. But we can see that that was not what the Lord wanted to be done. In fact, the Lord rebuked Peter, and he put the man's ear back on. He said, put up their sword. Those that live by the sword are going to die by the sword. And that's a very bad paraphrasing. I'm sorry. But as you can see, the using of that sword in that instance was not what the Lord wanted when he asked for them to get those two swords. So you cannot help others in our own power. And then number two, there will be situations that are beyond us and our physical strength. So when they came to arrest the Lord Jesus Christ, he spoke a word and they fell backwards. The Lord did not need Peter or any or all of the disciples to come to his defense. He could have called 12 legion of angels, as it mentions in the context. So there are situations that we will get into that are beyond ourselves, beyond those around us, beyond any help that any mortal help can offer to us, beyond our physical strength. And then the physical weapons, the physical things will fail us as well. That sword, Peter was banking on that sword to be just what he needed in that moment in time. And he depended on his flesh. But it was to no avail in that situation. He had a complete misunderstanding of the situation. He thought, the Lord asked us to get swords. Surely he meant for us to use those swords. But I don't believe that that was what the Lord had in mind at all, for them to use those swords. But we see clearly that the disciples, thinking that Peter specifically, thinking that he could handle the situation in the flesh, with the tools of the flesh, misunderstood the situation because the Lord had told them plainly that he was to be offered as a sacrifice for mankind, told them that he was to die for man's sin. But Peter specifically had issue with that. If you know your Bible, he did not see where that should happen. It says, not so, Lord. But moving on into, we can see that Paul was helpful in many ways. Peter tried to help in the flesh. Paul, in Let's go to 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11. I'm quickly running out of time here. 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 1. Now bear with me, there's quite a bit of laying out for this message, the application of this message. But in 2 Corinthians 11, we see that Paul here in this chapter was very helpful. In verse 1 through 4, we see that Paul was helpful in bringing others to Christ. Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. See, Paul was interested in being helpful to others to bring them to Christ. He was interested in their soul. In verse 5 through 7, he put those same people before himself. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles, but though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been throughly made manifest among you in all things. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that ye might be exalted, because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. In 8 and 9 we see, and this applies directly to the faith promise here, I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. It was important to Paul that because this church could not support him, it was important that other churches supported him. He wanted to be a help to them, even though they could not help themselves, they could not help him either, even in helping them. Kind of a side note there. But in verse 10, moving on, 10 and 12, Paul would preach the gospel no matter what man thought. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth. Now, in these next verses here, he warns, in verse 13 through 15, he warns of those that appear to preach the gospel and appear to be helpful, but are not. And then, in 16 through 21, Paul gives an explanation of what he is about to tell them in following verses and why he is telling them. But we'll skip that and go on down to verse 22 through 33. 22 through 33. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Now this is what he went through helping people come to Christ, trying to reach others. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king, kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. Now, it's already been brought out that we should pick up the rope. And that was exactly how Paul was let down out of the window, was by a rope. Who had the other end of that rope? Doesn't even say. But someone had the other end of that rope and let him down out of the window. Do we have the other end of the rope? Are we there helping people, helping missionaries, helping your pastor as he goes through all of these things? I seriously doubt anyone here has gone through all that Paul has gone through. But I'm sure that we have faced some of those things. I'm sure that your pastor faces some of those things. I'm sure that he needs someone to help him, someone to hold the other end of that line as he... And I got a bunch of line here. I'm not going to wrap the whole church in it. But I'm sure that your pastor would be very, very grateful, as Brother Byers opened this missions conference with. He gave y'all a bunch of things that y'all could help in y'all's local church. I do not recall all of that list. But if the Lord, if you were here and the Lord laid something on your heart, you know, in soul winning, who leads the soul winning here? Is that one of y'all men, or is that the pastor? Is that something that someone here could do? Has the Lord laid that on your heart? There's many things, and I know that you are active in this church. I'm not preaching this to kind of beat on y'all any at all, because I do know that there are many active members in this church. But however, there's a lot of things that fall by the wayside in a church, and I'm aware of that because I see it in my own church. In a church of this size, there are plenty of members to do the work. But it's never that way. It's always a few core members that do the work, and the lion's share of the work falls on the pastor. And that's a thing that I've seen through the years in many different churches. And to my shame, I will have to admit, over those same years, I was one of the pew sitters, not one of the ones who was helping the pastor. But that has changed in these past years. I've become much more active in my church and the ministries of my church, and not simply in the goings on of the Sunday and Wednesday services. Think of the ministries that this church has or could possibly have. I don't know the ministries. I did not ask what type of ministries y'all have here. If y'all go into nursing homes, if y'all go into local prisons or juvenile facilities, I do know that y'all not street preach, but knock on doors and have personal witnessing times, which is a command. We are to do that. No reason not to do that. You might think that I'm being a bit harsh in pointing these things out directly and saying that they could be done if they're not being done. But the thing is, the time is short, and that's already been brought out. Do we hold the line, not only in helping the pastor, but are we throwing out the lifeline, as that song was sung right before the service here? Are we throwing out that lifeline to the lost? We need to pick up the rope. We need to set down the sword, that whatever that is causing us to not pick up the rope. That sword is pretty good at cutting that rope. And it's not going to be of any help, just as it was of no help to Peter, in reaching others or helping others reach others. We need to be very aware of what we're doing, or else we're liable to take someone's ear off. And I think over the years in my own life, how that I wasted many years in following perhaps that perfect gun I was looking for, or a vehicle, or something of that nature. The gun would be of no help to anyone. The vehicle, perhaps, and that's why I desire to have a semi, to be of a help to those that I can reach with that semi, to those that I can carry mission supplies, carry whatever they might need to further the gospel, for the furtherance of the gospel. And to close this message up, we'll go to 2 Timothy in chapter 4. 2 Timothy in chapter 4. There's been a lot of scripture reading, and I'll try to end this up with a few verses here and make an application. 2 Timothy in chapter 4 and verse 11. 2 Timothy 4:11. Now, as has already been preached and very well, you can pick up the rope and you can hold the rope, but why are you holding the rope? As very clearly presented this morning, if you're not doing it for the right reasons, you won't be holding that rope very long. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 11 through 13, we'll read these three verses here. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Can you be a Luke? Can you be, you know, a Luke that was there, stuck with him? Can you be a Mark, someone that is worth requesting to be brought, to be a help? He would be profitable for the ministry. Or could you be a Tychicus, someone that could be sent out, could be trustworthy enough to be sent out and not be kept close? Or could you be a Carpus, someone that you could, that something could be left with, stable and caring enough to guard another man's things? Could you be one of those? And to quickly make the application, what will cause us to help others? Just two little things here. The first thing, I say little things. The first thing is in Psalms 119, 164. Everyone knows 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. But in 164, it says, seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Do you praise the Lord? Do you love the Lord? As was brought out this morning, if you loved him, you would do those things that are commanded of him. You would care enough to learn about him. You would care enough to praise him. You would care enough to read the Bible. And you would care enough to pick up that rope and continue to hold that rope if you loved him. And then in Ephesians 4:32, the last verse we'll read here, Ephesians 4:32. This particular verse was laid on my heart very, very heavily late last year. Because even though I do read the Bible, I do care about the Lord, I do love the Lord, I do praise the Lord, it can be quite formulaic sometimes. It can be just a thing that I do, a duty that I carry out. It can get to the point where I do it as I brush my teeth, you know, the things that you do. It's just a thing to do. And I got to the point where in my witnessing, I wasn't caring about those people that I was witnessing to. Even though I may have loved the Lord, I may have been in my Bible, I may have been studying every day, doing the things that I needed to do, and I was trying to help, but I didn't care. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. This is my verse for this year. We do a thing at my church. We are taking a single verse, and we're trying to apply that verse to our life throughout this year. And this is mine right here. I need to be kind one to another. It's not in my nature to be ugly. But Are we tender-hearted? So, just in conclusion, I would like to say, drop your sword. Drop the toys that are distracting you. And pick up the rope. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the message you gave to me. I just pray that it would be a help to your people here today. I know it has been a help to me, Lord. So many distractions, Lord. So many things that I allow in my life. I just pray that as we come away from this meeting, Lord, there's one more sermon, Lord. I pray that you would help us not to walk away from this unchanged, but to examine every part of our life, Lord. Every part of the things that we allow to distract us from reaching others. Distract us from helping others, Lord. Do we care about others? I know everyone here cares about their family, Lord, as they should. But do we care about reaching those lost around us? Do we care about reaching those lost across the sea? I just pray that we would have a tender heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Brother Warren. Every head bowed and every eye closed for just a minute, please.